The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the guests' own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of AIHA. AIHA does not endorse any guest or the entity that they represent. On this episode of Healthier Workplaces, Dermal Exposure Assessment and this year's OEESC Conference with guests Jennifer Sawmill and John Kissel. Coming up next.
percent of AIHA Connect attendees visit the expo floor and view the exhibit hall as an extension of their education and learning experience. 78% have influence for decision-making power for purchases.
So you get a lot of really good IH professionals and EHS professionals at one show.
We love being involved with others in the industry to make sure that we are supporting them with resources and match them with the proper PPE for the needs of their customers.
Exhibiting at AIHA Connect increases your company's brand awareness and elevates your visibility to the professionals you want to do business with.
There's no better place anywhere to come meet our clients in one spot and enjoy time with them, and it's just a great time.
I'm Allison Daniels, the Exhibits Manager here at AIHA, and my goal is to make the exhibiting process as seamless as possible for you, to bring you to the attendee, so when you arrive on site, you can make those connections.
Welcome, Jen and John. Great to have you on the show. We'll be talking about dermal exposure to chemicals. So I guess, Jen, the first thing we'd like to have you do is elaborate on the history of dermal exposure hazards and recognition. And, you know, talk about why this is an important topic or emerging topic in OEHS realms.
It is an area that traditionally has not been as well studied as perhaps the other types of exposures through either inhalation or ingestion of chemicals, but it is nonetheless a route of exposure that we often want to consider and to think about for certain chemicals in certain scenarios. In terms of the history, there again have long been interest or certain areas of study that have focused on dermal exposure, but it has been done in a lot of ways through more minor understanding. For example, while OSHA has certainly addressed skin exposures for certain specific chemicals and will certainly address concerns for dermal uptake or dermal exposure through its more general regulatory compliance or standard under the General Duty Clause, it has often been the EPA that is more commonly or more typically historically been in a more detailed way, looking at dermal exposures and the potential for dermal risks. There have been, for example, a number of regulations such as FIFRA, which is the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, and Rodenticide Act. So the pesticide manufacturing and pesticide regulation, where there's been a lot of great work done on the potential for dermal exposure and the risk of dermal exposures. But more recently, the EPA has, under the Lautenberg Act, under TSCA, the Toxic Substances Control Act, has now started to release a number of risk assessments for chemicals which are more commonly in commerce now, which are high-use chemicals, for example, asbestos, formaldehyde, solvents of a number of kinds. Not all of these will have a concern for dermal uptake or dermal exposure, but many of them do. And the agency is performing risk assessments for these chemicals. And therefore, it is starting to become an issue that is more relevant, I would say, for industrial hygienists who are perhaps in various environments and looking to ensure compliance with the existing regulations. And those existing chemical requirements are ones that are now we're seeing more commonly across broader swaths of industry.
I guess to follow up on that, Jen, what do you see as far as the EPA moving forward, you know, replacing that primary role that OSHA took with the dermal exposure? What do you see coming up in the future with that?
So, yeah, I don't see that necessarily EPA will be replacing OSHA necessarily. And I talked about the importance of the general duty clause under OSHA, and OSHA certainly does regulate various exposures, including, of course, dermal exposures. However, given the work that's been done under the Lautenberg Act and TSCA, there is certainly a lot more work that's specifically being done with respect to dermal exposure and risk assessment currently at the US EPA for existing chemicals. And again, that big group of existing chemicals that are high priority chemicals that the agency has identified and is working their way through the list. And many of those do have either an interest by the agency and the potential for dermal exposure and risk, or they have already been assessed by the agency as having a risk for dermal exposures.
AIHA is hosting this year's Occupational and Environmental Exposure of the Skin to Chemicals Conference. The acronym obviously is OEESC, and that's happening this September. So both of you have attended these conferences in the past, right, since their inception, and these have been going on for 20 years, is that correct? So quite some time.
Roughly 2002 was the first one.
Okay, so 22 years now. John, I'd like to have you share with us the background of that conference and why, you know, why is this something that's been important for you? Do you feel to attend all these years? You know, tell us a little bit about your insight and your experience with it in the past.
Dermal exposure is kind of the poor cousin in the exposure science world, and has had the least resources and least funding. Number of people working in the area. And one of the problems we have, the people, those of us who do dermal work, if we go to another kind of meeting, so I'm a former president of the International Society for Exposure Science, and we would have dermal sessions if I bothered to organize them, but mostly it would be air pollution and ingestion the communal effects and other sorts of things are the topic area. And so you have a 3 or 4 day meeting, and there's one symposium on dermal, and that's it's insufficient to attract a critical mass of dermal people, because most of the meeting isn't about dermal, and it's expensive to go to meetings. So early on, NIOSH recognized this, and they put money into the first OEESC meeting, and also provided a fair amount of support for the third one. The second one was in Stockholm, and I don't know how much they were able to support that. But the idea was to get this thing running and that make it a biannual event, with fits and starts, we've sort of accomplished that. This will be the ninth meeting in the 22 years, so we're not really on a 2-year schedule, but we're trying. But the key thing is that in order to attract a critical mass of dermal people, you need a meeting which is heavily focused on dermal, and there wasn't one, and this was the first opportunity to do that. So you get 200 to 300 people in a conference, and they're all dermal people. And so the opportunity for networking and communicating is greatly enhanced over being, you know, one session on the last day of another conference.
Given your breadth of knowledge and experience in this matter, John, what are the three most positive things that you feel come out of or have come out of this conference and, you know, over the years?
There's no accounting system that would allow me to know the answer to that question, because the point of conferences is networking mostly. You know, it's not the actual technical content. as much as it's the make connections with other people that are doing the sorts of things you do and get new ideas and potentially make collaborations. And, you know, so lots of people have gone to these meetings and found collaborators and then applied for grants and done work as a consequence. And I only know about that for me, but not for everybody else. When you read a paper, it doesn't say, I'm the second author and I met the first author at this conference in this city, in this town. And so therefore that's where this came from. So none of us know that, but it's really important in the scientific world to have opportunity to hear what other people have to say, to compare your ideas to their ideas, and to get new ideas.
OEHS professionals, and specifically industrial hygienists, have extensive experience with exposure assessment, but dermal exposure is considered an extension of that, right? So, Jen, why do IH professionals need to know about this? You know, what's in it for them?
Well, it's absolutely a critical route of exposure to a number of chemicals and a number of chemical mixtures and other substances. And so it's certainly an area, while we may not know it as well or have as good an understanding generally amongst the industrial hygiene community or profession, we're certainly leaving the potential risks on the table if we don't take the time to understand and to work to improve our understanding of these potential risks. And so it's very important for the safety and health of workers, for the protection of workers, to do our due diligence to understand where necessary and where we do see the potential for uptake or exposure to chemicals which could pose a risk, whether that's irritation on the skin surface or systemic uptake into the body, to understand what those risks are as industrial hygienists and to properly protect those populations that we are engaged in protecting.
So I guess as a closing thing, what can we expect to, or attendees expect to get out of AIHA's upcoming OEESC conference in September? And I'll pose that to both of you. You can, Jen, I'll let you go first because you're in the middle.
Okay, sure. I would say that this conference is a great opportunity for OHS professionals, especially in the United States, to attend a conference which is really focused on the best science related to dermal exposure and uptake and risk assessment. There are just, as John has said, not as many opportunities for understanding the science from other conferences that are larger and tend to historically have focused more on inhalation exposures or maybe safety issues. So this is just a great opportunity to come and learn more about all of the things that need to be understood about dermal exposure and risk assessment and to get a really great immersion into the science and the current science on that topic. I think there are going to be just a very great set of really high quality, top quality researchers, as well as practitioners at the conference who have committed to presenting already. So I think it's just a really unique learning experience for those folks who are interested or know that they need to learn more about dermal exposures and risk.
John, I'll pitch it to you too.
I would like to make an amendment or appendix to Jen's talk about history. In the late 50s, early 60s, in the ag sector, there were two key observations. One was that fatalities were occurring among people exposed to organophosphate pesticides, and two, that dermal was not merely a contributor. Dermal was actually the dominant pathway. And that triggered a lot of effort at EPA and a lot of investment by the ag chemical industry in actually parameterizing that process and making it possible to develop regulatory models. And that work is actually much more advanced and much more sophisticated than anything OSHA has done. So if you're operating on the assumption that EPA is Johnny-come-lately to the occupational world and that OSHA has been managing it just fine all along, you would be sadly mistaken. And probably your education about dermal exposure is incomplete, and the OESC meeting might be a place for you to bone up a bit.
We've got the Occupational Environmental Exposure of the Skin to Chemicals Conference. That's a lot to get out in one phrase. Or the OEESC Conference, which AIHA is sponsoring this September. Where is that being held?
The conference is going to be held in Washington, D.C. It'll be at a hotel near Dulles Airport, so easy to get to from both international locations as well as is in the United States. It's September 23rd to 25th. That will be all day Monday, all day Tuesday, and then a half day Wednesday.
Well, Jen, John, thanks so very much for joining us on this episode of Healthier Workplaces, and wish you the best with that upcoming conference.
Thank you very much, Bob.
Thank you.
So that's our show for this week. Until next time, I'm Bob Krell. Stay healthy.